The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, and Marco's Pizza.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We, of course, want to start off the show today by offering condolences to the family of Arthur Dion Hanna, former Governor General, former Cabinet Minister, former Deputy Prime Minister, former Member of Parliament, you know, signatory to our Constitution. He was one of six, prior to his death, one of six original signatories of the Constitution who were still alive. This man was a national hero, and certainly a hero of mine. Ingram said it best in his remarks, which we'll go through this because I want to help you understand the impact that this man had on our nation. He was short in stature, but he was a giant of a man. All right? A towering giant of a man. He played a huge role in building this nation, second only arguably to Pimling, in terms of from majority rule to independence through the 70s. His contribution cannot be overstated, to this nation. He is one of the reasons we have what we have today, and what we have today is fraught with challenges, but at least it's ours. It's our nation, all right? That he helped us build. This is his obit in the Nassau Guardian by Travis Cartwright Carroll. I'm going to read it for you. It's important that you know the contribution this man made to the country. Arthur Dion Hanna, formerly Deputy Prime Minister and Governor General, who was instrumental in the attainment of majority rule and independence, died at home yesterday. He was 93. Hanna served as a Member of Parliament for 32 years, having first been elected in 1960 into the Annstown constituency. He was re-elected in 1962, 1967, 1968, 1972, 1982, and 1987. His daughter, Glenys Hanna Martin, is today one of five Progressive Liberal Party MPs. Hanna was appointed Deputy Premier following the attainment of majority rule in 1967, and later Deputy Prime Minister. He held that position until his resignation in 1984. He held several cabinet posts, including Minister of Education, Minister of Trade and Industry, Minister of Home Affairs, and Minister of Finance. Born in 1928 in Pompey Bay, Acklands, Hanna studied at Government High School, where he met Lyndon Pinling, who became Prime Minister after independence. Hanna later studied law in England before moving back to the Bahamas and joining the PLP. Hanna and Pinling, along with the other freedom fighters of the 1960s, helped shape the modern Bahamas. Best known for his fight for Bahamianization, Hanna fought to ensure that Bahamians were trained for and placed in more jobs in the country. Following news of his death, tributes poured in from all sectors of the country. Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis described Hanna as a fierce patriot, He said in a statement last night, he loved his Bahamas with unrelenting devotion, courage, and passion. He gave his life to the Bahamian people in the struggle for majority rule and independence. Minnis said, as a boy and then as a young man growing up, I well remember A.D. Hanna, especially his belief in the talents and gifts of Bahamians. He possessed a progressive soul and spirit. I remember him constantly fighting for opportunities for all Bahamians in every sector of society. The fight for opportunity continues. We are grateful for his service and for his enduring example. Opposition leader Philip Brave Davis said, the lion of the Progressive Liberal Party has left us. I am deeply moved on this occasion, saddened yet empowered because I know of the legacy which he left us. He dedicated his life to the Bahamas, the political instrument that was the Progressive Liberal Party. We will miss you, Arthur D. Hanna. Former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham said Hanna was a nationalist who committed his whole life to the upliftment of ordinary Bahamians and to our national development. As the first Minister of Education in the first majority government that came to office in 1967, he guided the government's plans to make high school and university training available to growing numbers of young Bahamians. His fingerprints can be found on most significant policies that continue to be observed in government even today. Indeed, his name is synonymous with the Bahamianization policies that successive Bahamian governments have pursued since 1967. Small in stature, A.D. was a giant of a man. A former Minister of Finance and Deputy Prime Minister, he will figure prominently in the annals of our history. Former Minister of Immigration, Loftus Roker, said Hanna was one of his closest allies. He supported me as a member of the House and as a minister, Roker said. One thing about him was he loved the Bahamas. I regarded him as a real Bahamian. George Smith, the former cabinet minister, said Hanna was one of my heroes, whose policies in government helped thousands of Bahamians with opportunities for employment and scholarships. It was largely by Arthur Hanna's efforts that the thriving middle class which developed in this country was created. He was always mindful of the importance of uplifting the poor, the marginalized, and those people who needed to be uplifted. A true hero of the Bahamas has fallen. There are now, of those of us who went to the United Kingdom, only five of us now remain. Smith was referring to the 1972 Constitutional Conference in England. The other remaining members are Philip Bethel, Sir Orville Turnquest, Roker, and Sir Arthur Folkes. Sir Arthur said last night that he was saddened to hear of Hanna's passing and will issue a full statement today. Leslie Miller, a former PLP cabinet minister, said he was blessed to have known A.D. Hanna. He was one of the greatest Bahamians God ever put breath in, he said. The history of Arthur Dion Hanna is the history of progress for Bahamians. His contribution is immeasurable. Hanna is survived by his two daughters, Glenys and Dawn Hanna, and son, Arthur Dion Hanna Jr., and numerous other relatives. And even that does not begin to help you understand the contribution that Arthur Hanna made, okay? So when Pinling and the PLP came to power, there was one government-run school, public school, in the country. Arthur Dion Hanna was the first Minister of Education in a majority rule government. They immediately started expanding school, public education, up to the secondary level. Then they began the development of the College of the Bahamas. He put in place scholarship programs for Bahamians to go off for free to university to be trained to run their government and run their country. When he became Minister of Finance in, I think it was 1973, it was under Arthur Hanna that the Central Bank of the Bahamas was formed, that the Bahamas Development Bank was formed. It was under Arthur Hanna that the Financial Audit and Administration Act, which governed how government finances were ordered for decades after that. All right? This man insisted on Bahamians being put in positions to flourish in their own country. He's the one who fought to have Bahamians be croupiers in the casino. He fought to put in social safety nets that exists still to this day as Minister of Finance. He was a national hero. And though it is a sad day for the nation, we can say without doubt that Arthur Hanna died empty, like Miles Monroe would say. He gave his contribution. And we thank him for it. As a grateful nation. Okay? A grateful nation that mourns Arthur Hanna today. All right? You can call me. I want to talk about some other stuff, too. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. And 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796. I myself tried to reach Glennis Hanna Martin. I was unable to get through, as is to be expected. I'm sure she's incredibly busy, and perhaps, you know, she doesn't want to take a ton of calls, although I'm sure she'll receive them. But if she's listening out there, or if anyone close to her is listening, let her know that she has my condolences and that she's a great example of her father's legacy. All right? And let her know that he was a hero of mine. And he was he's such a gentleman, so gracious. You know, whenever you'd speak with him. And he'd, to the point where he was still Governor General, you could ask him about history, you could ask him about the Bahamas, he would explain it to you, he'd explain their intentions, and he just had a crystal clear vision of what the Bahamas could be, and he spent his entire life working toward that. Remarkable man. And a gentleman as well. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Gani, how you doing, man?
I'm great, how's it going?
Wonderful. Thank God for another day.
Yes.
We're still here. And we've got to fight on. A great fighter has fallen.
Yeah.
And he was sure great to that word. It's not a name that he came by with. He was really a worker. You know, coming into independence. I was 11 years old. And then to see how he and that cabinet entered Clifford Park. We were celebrating our independence then with Prince Charles there and Prime Minister Pilling and Mr. Simonet, who was the last premier there, mm-hmm. and Sir John Paul. A.D. Hanna stood out there like he had a mission, you know. And as he spoke as children and we listened, we got the fact that this was a doer. You know, and he when he said something, but it always took place. The fact of the matter of Bahamianization, we knew that was going to happen. You know, I work in food and beverage inside the hotel, and we just see it changing. Every time we see a foreign face, we have a party and they were leaving, there was a Bahamian face coming in, and it made us feel proud. We had a job to do and to keep our nose clean and to keep our name and country clean. He calls you to be that Bahamian that Mama them dreamt about. You know, they sent us to school and stuff like that. Yes, he was the first minister of education, and I enjoyed it. Then we went on to the College of the Bahamas, you know. A.D. Hanna did a massive work. You know, the steel that is inside his daughter, the way how she fights inside the House of Assembly and stand up for the constituency of Agniston, that type of steel that came from him, you know, mm-hmm. because he was a fighter, okay? Camp Road is common as it is. The poor man, A.D. Hanna, that's the name everybody knows, you know? And he did a wonderful work. And today I'm grateful. Today I give God the glory for him passing this way, you know? And thanks, man. Yes. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, McCartney, I just called to give condolences to the late great and deservingly national hero, Mr. Hanna. I was a young boy in school when Progressive Liberal Party came to power, and I can tell you the history behind him has yet to be told. What you said initially is just a scratch. Telling you. You go down in the eyes of history as one of the greatest behemoths that ever walked the earth in the Bahamas. Because he believed in behemoth to the extent that I don't think he ever accepted any British honor.
No, he refused.
He never did.
He refused all those honors and titles. He said he didn't want it if they were coming from anywhere other than the Bahamas.
Right. So
that itself
tells you what type of man he was, and what we have now lost. And we mourn his passing, I know that he will rise in glory. But I trust and pray that the fight and the vigor and what he has done for this country be transformed into somebody else. And that we can see that kind of thing going forward, because if there ever been a time that this country needs someone like Adriana, is right now. Thank you for taking my call. I give condolences to his daughter, the Honorable Glenys Hanna Martin, his son, and also any other of his siblings and grandchildren and great-grandchildren by extension.
All right. Thanks a lot. Get on the phone call. Let's do it. 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. You can also text us at 422-4796. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. I would like to register my condolences to the Hanna's family. And I identify with Mr. Hanna in his life. And long live his memory. All the good. All A-L-L in capital letters.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's my family.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Excellent. Well, my condolences. Good. Certainly. All right. Thank you so much. Let's take another call. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Mr. McCartney, sorry about that. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Mr. McCartney, I'd like to send condolences goes out to Glenys Hanna Martin. 2022, I campaigned with her and her father when she first came out in Angleston to run. Very nice person, dedicated person. And one thing I can say, me being campaigning with them, I learned a lot of things from Mr. Hanna. And I like to say this, why can't these members of Parliament that are in now look at what the forefathers did for this nation? Why can't they do what they did? They ain't do nothing for this country. They need to follow in these people's footsteps.
Yeah, they a lot of them don't grasp the gravity of the task that is before them. Right? And then their lack of preparation, their petulance, their immaturity that they display is really a slap in the face to the intentions of the founding fathers of this country and how serious they were about moving this nation forward. Now we have members of Parliament who blow up big pictures of themselves and bring it, you know, it's a farce now.
Yes, sir. Mr. McCartney, I can name off the member of Parliament I work with from the PLP. They were dedicated members of Parliament, cabinet ministers. When you hear them say they're going to do something for the black poor people, they will do it. We need to, you know what we need to do? We need to write out everything what these members of Parliament, these cabinet ministers did in pending time and let them demand them that these cities, what they need to do. This government coming in and do nothing for us.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay.
This is the wrong model what we have right here.
Yeah, this is, again, when you look at how serious and intentional these men were, you know, you got to say we've strayed far away from that level of seriousness in government. You know what I always found interesting, though? That, and someone had just said this to me and asked me what I thought about it, that Arthur Hanna never took any titles from England, but he still served as Governor General, which is essentially being the Queen's representative. And I think perhaps I can't know his heart, but perhaps he felt as though there was a threshold for him. Because note that when they went to get independence, they did not insist on becoming a republic, all right? Now, he also wrote into the Constitution that still established us as you know, under the monarchy. And when they have the oaths, they swear fealty to the queen and her successors, right? So I think for him, perhaps there was a threshold to which he goes, I'm doing this in order to have the honor of serving the Bahamas and driving the Bahamas forward, but I don't need your title to validate me. So I look at it in that way. But again, he's gone now, and I don't know if anyone ever asked him, and I can't know his heart. All right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon, are you there? Good afternoon? Hello, good afternoon. Nothing? Okay. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon, are you there? Nope. Okay, couple of text messages for you. Says, on behalf of my family, Roma Bartlett, we would like to express sincere condolences to the Hanna family, a great Bahamian family, and to Arthur Hanna, who will undoubtedly go down in history as one of the greats in this Bahama land, true nationalists. Yeah. It makes us reflect on where we are today and, you know, do we have that sort of seriousness and commitment in national development today? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Vaughn.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Right here.
I'd like to send my condolences to Miss Hanna. I consider her like a role model in a female aspect to me. And to Dion, better known as Bumford. But Vaughn, you know, I heard you hit on something just now. You said that Mr. Hanna was one who didn't take certain honorees. You know, it speaks about the individual himself. You know, he didn't allow the accolades to overpower his fight and struggle for Bahamians today. And, you know, when you look at Mr. Hanna beyond politics, he brought many Bahamians right now to be successful in this country and to hold their head up proudly. So on this day, you know, I encourage the FNMs, PLPs, DNAs, you all try to patronize after that gentleman, a giant of small in structure but big in heart. Patronize after him and try to let's get the country back like how it used to be with some sort of credibility and that people can hold their head up and to say, well, lift your head up and you could be proud to be a Bahamian. But you have a good day, my brother.
You too. Thanks. All right. A couple more calls. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
He's the only Bahamian that refused twice to be served. He was paying to be served. He was such a nationalist, a black nationalist. Remember that? He went to school with Mugabe, and they were black nationalists. And as Minister of Finance, his budget speak was par none. He spoke perfect English. And you know, we wrote him half a glasses, and he read them around. And the UPFNL was trying to back him. Remember that? Back in them days, the department was full of young, smart people. Sister Don Holloman would try to come at him. He was all quick. Wow. He didn't back down. He was the leader of government business 3-1.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, all of us are middle class now because of him. He made every bank, every hotel, train managers. When I became National Bank, Sandy Stein was on the front desk. Sandy Stein, Robert Sawyer, Kevin Lee, had to go off school because he said that's what we told y'all. You better train the Bahamians. When I pull the plug from y'all, y'all gonna be stuck. all of the offshore banks had to change their behavior because of him and Lofty Walker. They didn't play but Bahamas. They didn't play but us. You're the foreigner, you got to behave, you got to do what is right. I mean, I'm just like, stop. But anyhow, he served his term, and he went on to a greater sport, but he was a great Bahamian, Bahamianization, and he was for Bahamian. You don't care what nobody say. They didn't want nothing in the Bahamas. They didn't want to pay no tax. You tell them, leave the Bahamas. The more people come, walk out the Bahamas, right? But we as Parliament, we have some bills to pay. We are in debt. White man give us anything, we take it. Arthur Hanna was got the one scandal. He lived 50 years, he lived one out. The children was normal children. They didn't act big time. But a great man has left us.
Yep.
I hope that the ones coming up will learn from them. Go to Arnold and watch him at House of Assembly. He ruled Finland and speaking House of Assembly. Finland got a thing that took us Arthur Hanna and Paul Adley. They ran the house. They give the speaker Butler.
Yeah.
And 22,000 of trouble.
Paul Adley was brilliant.
Yeah. Paul Adley was brilliant.
Yeah.
The UBPF and them was saying some scandalous stuff about them. Mitch, they call him Mitch. Stop up, Mr. Speaker. That is not true. Adley said rubbish. I remember them days.
Yeah.
He was a great, smart, educated Bahamian. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was just outstanding, and as was Paul Adderley. Paul Adderley was just brilliant. Why are you calling the text line? Do you seriously expect me to answer the text line while I'm on the air, or I would answer the text line, period? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, Juan. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
Everything's good. Thank you.
Excellent.
I just want to send out my condolences on behalf of my family to the Hanna family and, you know, to stay home grateful that I am to I was about to call him Sir, but he never wore that title, Mr. Hanna, because he was what you call, he's the last of the real, what do you call it? He was one of the last of the fighters, the real fighters, you know. Growing up with Mr. Hanna and the gentleman, his comrades, growing up with them in as the government, there was a sense of security. There was a sense of pride in being an actual Bahamian. There was Bahamian pride. There was a sense that, you know, because of him, and I thank him, because word was not to him and others to actually allow coupiers to be able to work in the casinos. They Bahamianized. They pushed that Bahamianization so hard, Juan.
Yeah.
That it got to be a problem for expats. You know, the business, those foreign investors, it became a more issue. But they didn't care. So after those, they were all about, he was all about Bahamianization. And if anything that I am saddened about is that we need to see more of our leaders, the persons that we entrust with the running of this country. I want to see more of that in them, because it makes me feel as if all of the good guys are aging out and are dying. Of those persons who really, this man, and you know, he's gone now, right? And mm-hmm. I hope he knew how much he was appreciated, he was loved. But you know, he didn't die in vain. He didn't live in vain, because he left a fighter in Parliament. He left, you know, fighters beyond. He's moved, I think, to London now. But he's also a fighter. So mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you to the Hanna family for making that sacrifice and loaning Mr. Hanna to the Bahamian people. And thank you so much for listening to me.
No problem. Thank you for calling. We got we'll do one more call and then we take a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Ah, Yeah, Vaughn, how you doing?
I'm good.
I want to join in with the other behemoths and express my condolences to the Hanna family. When you spoke about, Arthur Hanna, I can tell you that a lot of times when you say, you know, he still took the Governor General post, you know, that's a great way to stay up to date, because you remember no laws come into effect when left the Governor General signs them. And he had many disagreements with his own party.
Yeah.
He had an open door policy with his constituents especially. And he would be the first to tell you if his party ain't going to touch something, and he would be the first to tell you whether he agrees or disagrees with what his party was doing.
Yep.
And that's the giant that I saw in him. So, you know, all that being said, just, you know, condolences to the family.
Yeah, condolences, absolutely. Thank you so much. And, you know, he was a guy who knew his own center and knew who he was, right? So when he resigned as deputy prime minister and from cabinet in 1984 after the Royal Commission, you know, that would show you if he distanced himself politically from his childhood friend who he went through all of this struggle and journey together with, because he on principle, I don't want to be involved in any specter of anything that's coming out of the commission. You can tell that he was still a man who knew his own mind. All right. And he and Pinley were still friends. Okay, we'll take this call and go to break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, right here, man. He was a great man.
Yes.
He wasn't afraid of his party or anybody. He just spoke his mind.
Right.
And I could remember the convention they had where he suggests that him and the leader step aside and let the younger people carry the party.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that night. I think it was a convention, and I think he resigned too. I could remember,
right.
But he was strong. It didn't matter who was, you know, the leader at the time, Mr. Lennon. So he just spoke his mind. So I really respect him for that, and condolences to his family, entire family. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. All right, let's take that break, and then we'll come back on the other side. Stay tuned.
Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio. We were talking about the passing of Arthur Hanna last night. All right. And again, this man was a hero, a national treasure. And I don't know that we'll see his like again. All right. Let me read some of your text messages. You can call me if you'd like. We can talk. We can talk some other stuff on the other side. This is, why don't PLP support Fred Mitchell and Glenys Hannah-Martin for leadership of the party? Wouldn't that be a better choice than the current ones? Haven't they proved themselves worthy? We're living in modern times. PLP needs to reboot in order to stay relevant or fall into the abyss of obscurity and be forgotten. Yeah, I would say like Chester Cooper and Glenys Hannah-Martin. Like, that would be a better thing to me. This says, 180, Hannah's passing sadly causes me to reflect on how far we've regressed when you see our leaders today. He believed in Bahamians and, from my studies, was a driving force behind a lot of things that others took credit for. Do you think today we will see politicians taking a stand the way he did with Sir Lyndon in 84? Many don't know that he gave up being DPM off of principle. Sadly, many of our leaders today aren't even prepared to lose a meal at the House, much less a position. Yeah, he was, man, listen, he was a principled individual, all right? And I'm not saying that's rare in people today, but it appears to be a rarity in politics today, all right? People who have principle, people who say, no, my brother, no, right? We're not going to, I'm not going to compromise on that to make you feel better about it. These are my principles. We are going to have Bahamians run the Bahamas. We're going to provide education for the Bahamas. We're going to run our own finances, our own financial institutions, our own public service. He was responsible for public service as well when he became Minister of Finance. We are going to do this, all right? And he didn't waver from that one bit. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. I'm going to say something on the passing of Mr. Hannah. That might be a topic controversial.
Okay.
But simply to say this, during my life, I've had the opportunity to speak to all of the original members of the I will call them founding fathers. And I've been able to say to them, look, man, all of you, with the contribution you have made and what you have done to this country and what we're very are supposed to have been headed. You all didn't have the right to separate. It is the separation of the original concept of Bahamianization that became the cause for us to be where we are today. Can you imagine if all of those founding fathers, when I think of Eddie Hannah, man, he talked about this Bahamianization. He talked about how we could direct our own affairs and chart our own course. I remember from when I was a youngster, it was Eddie Hannah who ensured that every manager of every bank in this country was a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
Every manager of every hotel in this country was a Bahamian. And we have digressed to the point where we now say that because of A, B, or C, whatever the reasons we give, we are inadequate. Eddie Hannah never believed in that. And that family, the Hannah, 18 and 9 family, need to be celebrated, and I give my condolences to all of them. Barbara of Pierre, that's Eddie Hannah's sister. Dave Burrows, that's a member of that family, the 18 Hannah and 9 family. And all of the, it's one of the most accomplished families in the country, 580. just his life, but the things that he stood for. He stood for Bahamianism. He believed in our people. He believed in the ability of Bahamians to be the best that we could be and to be world-class in what he did. And I just want to... I remember when my own mom passed and the condolences and the regards I got from Glennon. I just want to, as my colleague, to know how much I love her and how much I respect her family and the memory of this great Bahamian hero. Thank you.
Thank you. Says Juan, the host of The Revolution is of the same resolve. I model myself after, like I told you, he's a hero of mine, like how he was unwavering in his principles. I as well try to do that as with everything. All right? If I believe in it, I believe in it. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Please hang up.
No? Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hey, Juan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. I would like to open my statement with also paying homage to the late Eddie Hanna and his family who have helped to shape the modern-day Bahamas. I would also like to also thank the previous caller. You know, he is also one of those who have been very instrumental in helping to shape the Bahamas through his service to country. You know, we live under the premise that we give our kudos and our and everything but upon the death of a person, but we must also celebrate them and give them kudos while they are alive. So, you know, it's very imperative in my closing statement is simply this. You know, we lack, apparently, in our politics today, which, you know, the likes of Selinden, the likes of Eddie Hanna, the likes of Paul Adley, and we could go down the list. We're talking about statesmen. We're talking about people who truly believe in Bahamians, people who believe in the best that they can contribute to the successful development of this country. And, you know, it is so sad that today, in my humble view, we do not possess those persons in our parliament today with such stature that many of these pioneers who have gone on before have actually sacrificed and gave to the Bahamian people. I encourage the Bahamian people, let's go and look among ourselves. Let's find persons who can emulate those Eddie Hannas, those Lyndon Pinlands, those Paul Adleys, and so on and so forth, and bring them forth towards a new and better prosperous Bahamas, which they envision. Thank you so much, Juan, for taking my call, and God bless the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
All right. Thanks a lot. This says... Hey, Juan, I see the Nassau Guardian where your friend Philip Brave Davis says Cat Island is the way it is because of Ministem. What's your take? My take, I think Cat Island is the way it is because of neglect by successive administrations. But if Davis wants to blame the FNM, go right ahead. I saw someone from the PLP said the headline was misleading. Well, I'm here to tell you that I wrote the headline for that story, and that's exactly what he said. Okay? Don't wiggle out of it. Don't do that, right? Own it. You want to say it? Own it. On behalf of Mrs. Dawn Bethel and family, we extend our sympathies to the family of the Honorable Arthur Hanna. We realize Mr. Hanna was a quality Bahamian with talents that he used to advance the country of the Bahamas. He showed that the honors from the British did not define him as a man, or a true patriotic Bahamian. Absolutely. Says, good afternoon, Revolution. On behalf of the Dean family from Kemp Road, I wish to extend sincere condolences to Dion, Don, and the Honorable Gladys Hanna Martin. Arthur Hanna and his family were intrinsically involved in the forward movement of my family, and I were eternally grateful for them. He was and is truly a great Bahamian. Now, some people, I know personally, my father got the opportunity to go off to school and get a degree because of Eddie Hanna. right? And he was someone who believed in him, all right? And when he came back, gave him a job at the Treasury, I believe it was. So he connects to a lot of Bahamian lives in that sort of way. All right? And even deeper than that for a lot of people. We got time for this call? Nope. We got to go to news? All right, let's go to news. We'll take the call. On, you can call back, caller, if you'd like, on the other side of the news. Stay tuned.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We were earlier talking about the passing of Adie Hanna. I still have your text messages to read. Before I do that, though, let me say this. And I didn't do this because I'm petty. I just did it because I have a strong sense of intellectual curiosity. So, remember when I was asking, like, why they couldn't just dump the wood into the sea that had the beetles in it? And everyone was telling me, well, wood floats, so you can't. But I looked it up. Not all wood floats, right? Not all wood floats. It depends on the density of the wood, all right? So lignum vitae, all that kind of wood, they don't float. You throw that in the ocean, it's done. All right. So if the density of the wood is less than the density of the water, then it floats. All right. But there are numerous types of wood that will not float. Not that I know what type of wood the Beatles were in, or the density of that, or to say that if the Beatles were burrowing into the wood, that itself wouldn't lessen the density. But not all wood floats. That's the takeaway. Okay. Back to your text messages, calls if you'd like. This says, Juan, first of all, condolences to the Hanna family from my family. Juan, people don't realize what sacrifices that politicians and teachers made to make this nation great. Yes, you and I complain a lot, but that's because we know where the generations before us sacrificed. Their children were young, but they looked at the greater good. They formulated a plan and carried it out to the best of their abilities. They worked night and day, many, many hours away from their wives and children. A lot of times we take for granted what it takes to move a country forward. I remember someone telling me one time, Prime Minister Ingram works 16 hours a day. Now it seems that anyone can be a politician without having to prove if you have the work ethic necessary to do the job. But on A.D. Hanna, may his soul rest in peace. He was a great nation builder, and we honored him in life and now also in death. Such a man of high stature, we wish we could only emulate. Also, shout out to all the teachers of the Bahamas. We may complain sometimes, but we appreciate you, especially St. John's College, where my girls go. Yeah, well stated. And that's the thing, right? So, look, and I know, I beat up on the politicians a lot, right? But the thing is, the expectation of you is high, right? The expectation of you, this ain't no game, kiki-ki and bang on the table. This ain't a game. I am often asked if I would get involved in politics. And my answer is no, right? Now, the chief reason for that is that I have small children. And the expectation I would have of myself, if I were to become a member of parliament, much less a member of cabinet, is that this is a 24-hour-a-day job for the next 5 years. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's the expectation I would have. That's how seriously I take having that sort of job. And I'm not willing to miss out on that much of the lives of my children while they're this young. That's the first reason. The other reason is I don't want to come to your funeral or your wedding. I ain't got nothing on your light bill. I don't all this that now a lot of people look to politicians as their like caretaker. I would it, but just on principle, I know that I would expect of myself to commit myself and dedicate myself to this entirely. Right? And I'm not willing to lose that much of the time I have with my family to do that. Some people make a choice now. You say, no, I'm going to do this. We're going to build a nation and we're going to sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice time with my family. I'm going to sacrifice, you know, being at home. I'm going to do as best I can. Right? So I urge people who want to get into politics, this ain't no game for you to look good and dress up in fancy suit. If you don't have any real interest in building this nation, even in opposition, if you don't have any real interest, then sit down. Right? If you don't have that work ethic, then sit down if you know you ain't about it. Sit down if you know you don't have the intellectual rigor. Sit down and stop cluttering this thing up and let other people who have the capacity to do things with sense put themselves forward. All right? Just a lot of, you know, clout chasing and all this. We got a nation to continue building. All right? A.D. Hanna's gone now. Right? He can no longer assist us. We have to build this nation. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, man. Condolences to the Hanna family. I just have one point. Yesterday, I didn't know if I heard it properly, but, you know, I think the cabinet would have approved the Prime Minister, because of his in his capacity as a medical doctor, to assist with vaccination or assist with the
yeah, he said he's gonna go help
vaccination process.
Yeah, he said he's gonna go help.
I don't know what our cabinet doing. Is there anything else that the Prime Minister could be doing other than that? I mean,
listen. We don't need him to go do that. We have other things for him to do.
We got other things for him to do.
I appreciate the gesture, right? But, yeah, there's a lot of other things to do.
And besides, I mean, when you really want to talk sense about it, you know, he's a gynecologist. And you know, if you really want to assist with it, man, put Dwayne Sands in charge of it and let Dwayne Sands do it. But I think with the cabinet doing that and authorizing him to go and do medical work, that's a waste of time cabinet decision.
Like what to go inject people with the vaccine? That's you know
exactly.
No, I didn't have a doctor there when it happened to me. You know what I mean?
It's, exactly. Okay.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. Like I said, I appreciate it. It's a nice gesture, but we got other stuff for you to do there. It says, A.D. Hanna was a statesman and a true warrior. During his era, he will be missed. May his soul rest in peace. My condolences to the Hanna family. It says, hi, Juan, how are you? I'm no PLP, but Mr. Hanna was a great man. It says, morning, sent my condolences to the Hanna family. Hanna lived a fruitful life. Why do some people always say the government never do nothing for their country? Because they're on the opposing side. All governments do things what need to be done in their era to benefit the country. Yeah. Some governments do more than others. This says, my mother told me several times throughout the years what a good and caring man A.D. Hanna was. Whilst I have never met him, I did have occasion to meet his daughter, Glennis Hanna Martin. On three separate occasions, she gave me assistance. No questions asked. She personally called me on the phone to give me directions on what to do and to make sure that all was well. I may have never met her father in person, but I know I met him through his daughter because, as it turns out, she is a true reflection of him. Positive energy going out to her at this time. It says, good afternoon. Why did Mr. Hanna step down in 84? He stepped down after the Royal Commission on drug trafficking in the Bahamas, and particularly that cabinet ministers were admitted to have had involvement with it, or at least one cabinet minister. It says, why do you think there's not been any more extreme national politicians since the founding of the Bahamas? When in reality, there are so much opportunities for current politicians to make pivotal strides and decisions to go down as monumental Bahamian leaders, but there's nothing to look back on at all from the current leaders. It's going to be triumphant enough to even write one single chapter in a history book. It's disheartening. That texture's right in that there are monumental opportunities out here for us to drive this thing forward, right? For us to make this a place that our children would actually want to stay in. You understand? So many people tell me, they're telling their children, don't come back home. And before I tell my children that, I'm going to be like, I'm going to come where you are, right? So I'll leave, right? Before I'm not going to see my children on a regular basis. I don't want to live in that world. Let's take the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. This is Marlon J. Newton.
Hey, what's up?
Okay. Just want to send condolences to the family of Mr. Arthur Dion Hanna, passing former Governor General and former Deputy Prime Minister. Just want to say that, described by Harry Christie and everybody else, he was a lion. I've had personal encounters with this gentleman and both his late wife, Mrs. Hanna. They were, even though they were people of great stature, Vaughn, they were very humble people. Anybody that knows the Hannas,
yeah,
I'll tell you a lot of things about them, but they would have to pick up on their humility and their kindness and generosity to the common person or anybody that they meet, no matter your stature, no matter how high or low you were in society, these people were just humble people. These were people, even though they could have amassed great wealth and properties, whatever, but these were, they're living how they live. I have affiliation with them. Miss Glanis Santa Martin is my friend. I consider her to be, but like I said, one of the things that is so outstanding about the Hannas, especially the late Arthur Dion Hanna, was his humility, him and his late wife. I remember going off to Switzerland in 1995, where I was trained to be as a chef. I promoted to Bahamas there for 2 years. And when I had come back, she had told me to give her some cooking lessons. We did catering for them at their house a number of different times when I used to work for Osborne's Catering. And like I said, he was not only a lion, but he was a very, very, very gentle, humble person. And I just want the Hannas to have my condolences and let them know that I'm praying for them. I'm in their corner, and much love.
Okay, thank you so much. Says Juan, did I hear you and Brave Davis correctly? Tell me what stuff y'all two on. Did y'all say that his constituency of Cat Island, for which Brave Davis has been the MP for a total of 20 years or two decades, that and served as both Deputy Prime Minister of Works? Think about that for starters. Cat Island, or a significant portion of the island, just recently got potable water under the Menace administration. Well, you certainly didn't hear me correctly. Maybe you heard Brave Davis correctly. I said that Cat Island is in the state that it is in because of neglect by successive governments. That is what I said. And I would love for you to prove me wrong on that. Okay, enough attention has not been paid to Cat Island by either the Progressive Liberal Party or the Free National Movement. Now, if you so wish to damage Brave Davis by pointing out to the state of Cat Island, feel free to do so. That is your political point of view. But the reality is that successive administrations have not paid enough attention to Cat Island. And Cat Island is not the only island that enough attention hasn't been paid to. And when I talk about monumental opportunities, part of that is improving the family islands. And I think the Minister administration has made some strides in doing so. It still has not done enough. But there is no question that successive administrations have neglected Cat Island. Well, I'm sorry, was Cat Island utopia before Brave Davis became the MP? Did I miss something? Was it this bustling hub of advancement and infrastructure was all there and somehow that all went away when Brave Davis became an MP? Or was it a place where Ellsworth Johnson grew up and he talks about riding horses or donkeys or whatever and having to go get water from the well? Like, so you didn't hear me correctly. Maybe you heard Brave Davis correctly, but not me. All right? Let's see. This says, great show as usual. Question, why we wait until people die to give them their roses? Why we as a people don't show their importance to nation building while they're here on earth to appreciate it? In a lot of instances, we don't. We don't give people their roses until they're dead. We don't show appreciation until they're gone. But Arthur Hanna was shown appreciation in his life. I can say that this man did not die thinking he did not get the recognition he was due for his role in building the nation. Now, there are a lot of people who may have forgotten or not been around or don't understand it well, and we could educate those people, but we certainly have shown appreciation to him. It says, good afternoon. I perceive Chester Cooper as a Johnny-come-lately and an opportunist and not convincing as a serious potential leader. On the other hand, Fred Mitchell has shown umpteen years commitment, still does, and should be given a chance as leader. I don't think Fred Mitchell has the correct temperament to be a leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, and he may not like me saying that, but he has a penchant to go low. Yeah, he's a brilliant man, right? But he has a penchant to be to go low very quickly. And say wild things like there's enmity between our houses now and there's a blood feud. No. All right. So these guys think being an MP is about reading a prepared speech, making sure your Valentine's, Christmas, and Easter billboards are up and handing out back-to-school bags. Ask any of them about any of the legislation passed in the past year, and they wouldn't have a clue what they agreed to. Certainly several of them wouldn't. Many of them wouldn't. It says, science is rigor, and you cannot rush it or assume we have the answers. Time is the true master. I said this to say that Dr. Fauci is now saying that all you need now is a pill at the start of symptoms to avoid the virus entering the upper airway. Read, do your own research. Don't be guided by fear. I'll research that. It says, I agree with you. If you don't have true intentions of improving this country, sit small, sit down. Exactly, one. Juan, do you know when the civil servants will get this $1,400? Still waiting for the money. That didn't happen yet. I thought that happened. Wasn't there a notice about it? They said that was happening. Let me check here. I'm gonna see if I can find it. No, this is a COVID cabinet relocation. Travel requirements, lobster season. It's lobster season. Anyone want to hook your boy up with some tails? You know, I'm right here. They're going to be big tails, too. Because, no, I don't see it. I don't see the release about the money. Drug, what is it? Do you see this? They have a, anyway, let me leave it alone. Let me leave that alone. All right. No, I don't know. I don't see where it is. Sorry. I couldn't tell you. Maybe someone could forward that to me. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. No, I don't. This isn't it, actually. This is the honorarium for the frontline workers. And that's going to be paid by check on or before the second week of August. This doesn't say anything about the disbursement of the civil servants. So I couldn't tell you. Sorry. It says, why you all want to deny the competent authority his photo op putting needles in arms? Can't you see the campaign poster? Now that you say it, I can see it. Now that you say it. Now that you put it out there, I can envision it. I can envision it. But does he need cabinet's permission to do that? Isn't that just like a voluntary thing? He's not getting paid to do that. That's strange to me. That is strange to me now. But like, why do you need anyone's permission to go do that? It says Dr. Indira Martin, head of the lab, is A.D. Hanna's granddaughter. They have raised a smart, hardworking family. Yeah. Let's go to the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, Mr. McCartney.
Hi, how's it going?
Just by you mentioning the money for the civil servant. Listen. This government took away our increment from us 2019. This is 2021. They promised us that we were supposed to get that money the end of July. End of July, then go on. We have kids to carry to get ready for school. So why we cannot get our increment?
Great question. Great question. I'm going to actually look into it.
What happened to the union? What happened to the union, Mr. Kingsley Ferguson? The people put him there to fight for the poor people. We were supposed to get our additional. Last year, we got $1,400. They had additional, I think, $1,100 or $1,400 more for us. When are we going to get that?
Good question.
When are we going to get that?
Good question.
You can take away our increment from us, and you tell us. You give it to us for July. Now July coming, going, ain't nothing is to be said.
So nobody got it.
Nobody get nothing. School opening for the children. And that's terrible. They $1 increment. You know what people can do with that increment at the end of the year?
Someone's telling me that's going to happen next pay period. Next pay period. Okay. All right. So. Sorry, someone just sent me something really funny. Let me do this. Prime Minister, competent authority, Minister of Finance, now vaccine injector. Man passed the FOIA and legalized the ganja. Leave them needles alone. Ain't he say he's scared of needles? Says, I condolences to the Hanna family. Now, you don't think after 46 years, our minimum wage should be $300? Yeah, I got no problem with raising the minimum wage. I support it, actually. Let me see how I can put this. If you can afford to pay someone $250, you should be able to afford to pay them $300 because, and where's the extra money going to come from, Juan? The extra money is going to come from the people that you're paying the $300 because they are the people who spend all of their money, right? So it makes sense to me to raise the minimum wage. Because they'll have more money. Because they spend all their money on consumables, right? The people who are making a lot more money, they're saving their money. And I think we should tax those people. But that's a conversation for a different day. Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. I just wanted to give my sincere condolences to the Hanna family. He lived a full life. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and light perpetual shine upon him. All right. This says, we, the FNM, have a secret plan to win the next general election. One, the government is going to pay off every mortgage who have a balance of $25,000 and under left to pay. And two, minimum wage is going to be $550 a week. Now, I say no $550 a week now. Unless, you know, I don't know if we got that type of elasticity going on. It says, are there any monuments nationally that honor Mr. Hanna? You know, I'm not sure. I'm not certain. Hey, Juan, I really do not like how we exalt political leaders that are simply doing their jobs like they're gods. It's their job, in my opinion. Lyndon Pinling and A.D. Hanna didn't do much for this country. If our credit ratings are declining year over year since inception, we still have regressive tax structure and we have the same streams of income we had decades ago, one of which is tourism to support this country. In my opinion, we never had any real leaders. I'm sorry, I have to completely disagree with you. Completely disagree with you. Do you know what your life would be like if we didn't move toward independence? The sort of growth that happened, the sort of the middle class that blossomed, the investment in education and housing and healthcare. I mean, Jesus, you don't give anyone credit for that? That's a particularly jaundiced view. It says, speaking of lobster season, do you think we'll ever have an official conch season? I hope not. I hope it doesn't come to that. One, A.D. Hanna stepped down as DPM Minister of Finance because he told Pinland to let us two step down to save this PLP party and country from this embarrassment and to let Christ and Papa, Christie and Papa, give the country and party a fresh start amidst all this scandal. One, he and Pinland knew foreign forces was on the ground working here. Good day, Juan. I'm still off from work. I'm at a hotel, Cable Beach, owned by Jamaicans. I've not heard anything from them in about a year. If they're not going to bring us back, just pay us our money, please. They haven't paid you? You talking about sandals? They're supposed to reopen in January. Supposed to. It says, hey, Juan, caught the show late, but Notorious B.I.G. said it best. You're nobody till somebody kills you. in reference to not getting your shine while you're alive. Yeah. This says, I completely agree with you on. I love Fred Mitchell, but he's extremely bitter. We all have dark sides, but his is much, much too dark for leadership. I used to love Bradley Roberts, too, until I saw his dark side turned against the people. I no longer think passion is the end-all of leadership. It can turn bad fast. Swan, you ain't figured out Dr. Minish yet. He's been waiting this entire 4 years for someone to ask him, wait, use a doctor? Try it next time you see him. This says, I would have brought you some lobster tail, but I believe these suckers were sparing since July 30th or maybe May 1st. Really need more checks and check out these yachts and sailboats living on anchor, too. Yeah, look, man. We like you coming here, right? But if you just going to come here and fill up your yacht freezer with all our lobster and screw us over, we thank you to just leave us alone. All right? Let's take the phone call. Let's go to the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, good afternoon. What are you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Right here, man. Yeah, that text a couple of minutes ago that you read when you said that if you would, I forget how you put it, if you would understand what would happen, you got an idea where I'm coming from?
Yeah, if we had not had independence and people like Pinling and A.D. Hanna, we'd be screwed.
Okay, I think you ain't reading this text the way he's trying to get, what he's trying to get across to you.
What's he trying to say?
How old are you, 50 yet?
I'm 45 this month.
All right, those who are 50 years and over know where that man coming from, that text is coming from, brother.
I don't know.
One of these days, someone can explain to you what the deal is. Yep. He making a statement. You just don't know what he's saying.
I just disagree with what he's saying.
That's cool. That's cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
But we who 50 over, we know exactly where he's coming from.
I don't know if I agree with that either. I think you speak everyone over 50.
That's okay. That's fine. But I know where you're coming from.
That's fine. If you agree with him, that's fine.
Okay, cool. Have a good one, man. One of these days, we'll explain it to you.
Okay.
Right up.
Yeah. Yes, explain for me how the people who brought about, helped bring about incredible economic growth and national development didn't do anything for the country. Explain that to me. I need to know. Did you think that happened by accident? That everything just sort of poof materialized? Your national institutions, your national insurance board? You think all that was just happenstance and nobody gets credit for it? To me, that's sad. Now, if you want to say you don't believe they did enough for the country, that is fine as well. But to say they did nothing is absurd. It's absurd. This says, hello, I don't support any political party, but to the FNM I say this, don't care what y'all try, you'll lose the next election. I've never been wrong about predicting an election. Okay. Says, the PM bragged about how much money we have. Now every government worker want their money. Yep. Yeah. And this texter says here that that's the mantra of post-colonial blacks. No matter what one of their own accomplishes, they've done nothing. Yeah. It's just a sad way to view the world. They have made accomplishments, okay, that stand to this day. This texture says, when black people could not get contracts to do government work and all was funneled to the Bay Street Boys, it's crazy times. If you're over 50, you should know. Man, I used to sit and talk to my grandfather. It'll make you the way that the majority of people of color, my grandfather was my color, right? The way people of color were treated in this country, you have no idea. You could sit on the comfort of your cell phone and say, you know, what you want to say. But these men changed this nation. We got a long way to go. But still. It says, when I guarantee you the same callers that say Hannah did nothing for the Bahamas are the same ones that say Bill Gates trying to take over the world through a vaccine. I guarantee you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. I don't normally call back to back, but I want to dismiss the persons who were saying that Mr. Eddie Hannah did nothing for the country and his era did nothing for the country. Similarly, those persons who are saying the present government is doing nothing for the country because we have what is called facts and opinions, and some are very strong opinions, but the figures lie. Liars make figures, but figures don't lie. So something has been done. All that we may need to get done has not yet been done, perhaps, or perhaps there's some kind of trickery around in the situation.
Right.
But yet everyone is doing, and there's no doubt about the magnitude of the import of that era in the 60s for the entire region.
There's no question.
We can't bury our head in the sand in that. And even now with the stress that the financial stress the government is going through and what they have spent on food and all assistance and so on without making any sort of proper income, we tell ourselves a lie in either side.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to be real and be honest.
Right. And views like that, too, are also why I'm not interested in political life, because it's never good enough. Is the issue. And am I satisfied with where we are? By no means. But no accomplishment is good enough for some people. Juan, I'm 68 years old, and I totally, totally disagree with those two persons who think Mr. Hannah and other leaders of his time did not do anything significant. They are both lost. Let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. You know, I want to send my condolences to the Hannah family. I'm glad that we went to school together and one of our brothers, you know. But you know, I'd also like to say that, you know, that her father, I respect him and for his contribution, right? You know, and as well as I would prefer to say that, you know, the PLP, they brought about a revolution. You know, we went from a partisan to majority rule, you know, and they created some black millionaires, you know, and they did some things, you know, they started some things. Let me put it this way. They started some progressivism, but it is stalled, you know, from a long time as that has been stalled. You know, so I wouldn't call the PLP a progressive party anymore. They were progressive for short stint. You know, they things like not insurance, that was progressive. It's not 100% progressive because poor people had to pay into it. You see, they failed to do the corporate tax, the income tax. They failed to whatever they attempted to do progressive. They failed to put the system in place to pay for it. You see. You know, I would say that NHI is a progressive agenda, but nothing to pay for it as well. You know, and you know it's halfway started. You know, you look at things. Some of us would call defense force progressive, but that's not progressive. That's just development. You see, and that's still we still can't defend ourselves. You see, so. We as a people, we must thank our leaders for what they've done for us, you know. And I would swear to say none of them has given their lives for us like Martin Luther King. None of them has spent a day in jail like Fidel Castro and Nelson Mandela, you know. So until we come to that, you understand me, until our leaders prepare to see, to speak the truth to power where they put their life. You know what I'm saying? They'll their life, send them to jail for it. You see, or spend time in jail for it. Well, we have enough that ultimate leader, a leader that paid an ultimate sacrifice for us.
You want a leader to pay an ultimate sacrifice for you. what does that means going to prison? Until a leader goes to prison or assassinated, they're not a good leader. I don't understand the logic of some of you guys. I won't lie to you. You know, I'm not, and further, that we can't defend ourselves is not a progressive thing. If every person in the Bahamas over the age of 18 were to be in the military, we still could not defend ourselves from any serious military effort. Maybe Turks, we could take them. Afternoon, I'm 57, and I don't agree that Adie Hanna and Pinling did nothing for the country. They're heroes in my eyes. It says, Juan, about sandals, when leaders like Brave Davis and Christie allowed them to mistreat the Bahamian employees by firing all and then rehiring simply the union bus, they feel comfortable doing what they're doing now. A leader like Adie Hanna would have never allowed that to happen. Davis will not stand for Bahamians. Yeah, so I'm, this is one we could take Cayman to. Maybe Cayman. Cayman and like a couple of people. Like if Barbados flare up, we could probably handle that. If every person over the age of 18 was in the military. Something like this. St. Lucia. Or okay, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Welcome, Juan.
Hi, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
My name is John Bain. This is my first time calling.
Oh,
I'm calling after hearing some of the ridiculous statements by your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'd like to give my condolences to the Hanna family on the passing of Arthur Hanna. And I'd just like to say I am over 50. And as a child, the police commissioner in the Bahamas was a British with a white British guy. Every supervisor, every manager at PEC was white British. Every one at Patelco was white British. Every single permanent secretary in the Bahamas was white British. Every teller at RBC downtown was white.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the casinos, every waitress and every croupier was white. And if somebody were to come and say, the Bahamas hasn't changed, they don't know their history. And on the same point, when you hear Mr. Hanna's history about how the UBP used to have him thrown out of the house, it saddens me to know that the exact same thing happened to his daughter. The exact same thing happened to his daughter when the police force was called and asked and removed her from the house. That happened to her father on numerous occasions. So I think the average Bahamian needs to do a lot of research into their history to see how the Bahamas was and how the Bahamas is now. And then they'll look back and they'll say, job well done, Mr. Hanna. Job well done.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. It says, greetings, Juan. Those who reject their elders will be rejected by their offspring. Those who call to say Mr. Hanna did nothing could kill. Honor thy forefathers and foremothers. Look, and I'm here to tell you, all right, was the first PLP government some perfect entity that didn't do anything wrong and got everything right? Absolutely not, right? But, yeah. And like I said, I'll be 45 this month, but I'm a person who's had conversations with my grandfather, my grandmother on my father's side, my aunts and uncles who can still remember how things were. We have gone to a place from when my grandfather was a subsistence farmer on Eleuthera. In two generations, he has a university-educated grandchild who's able to own his own home, live comfortably. You can't say that nothing was done. It's just counter to the facts. All right? Just let Bermuda get salty. We got them. We could probably take Bermuda. Maybe like British VI. No, well, we don't want to mess with them because they're like, they got the British. It says, according to my knowledge, the ultimate sacrifice is death. Okay, let's take a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, pleasant good afternoon, Brother Vaughn. Hope you're doing well in your family.
Yes, all is well.
You know, Brother Vaughn, sometimes I feel like some behemoths are like the children of Israel, you know. You know, Moses bring the children out of Israel, the children of Israel out of Egypt. All they do is complain. Why you bring us out of Egypt? Why didn't leave us out in Egypt where we were servants, where we were hewers of wood and stone and we eating onion and garlic and leek? Why you bring us? Mind you, they were in Egypt complaining, you know. Come on, man. We got to stop this, man. This is the land of opportunity. You know, my ma used to say, you could do the 99 and the one to make the 100. You still ain't doing nothing. You see any immigrants trying to leave our country?
Some
they coming in by the droves. They see opportunities. Andrew Wilson was on show the other day, and he said, you know what? I rent buildings. And you know who are most of his tenants? Haitians and Jamaicans. Jamaicans looking for retail spaces, combining their incomes, looking for opportunities. And while we as Bahamians, some of us just sitting down and complaining. The government, this present government, I must say, they have made opportunities available for Bahamians to get into business, to do what you want to do. And, man, let's get off our blankety-blank and go out there and seize the day, man. Because if you know what Sir Lyndon said, if you're not prepared to fight for it, then you don't deserve to have it. Stop looking for the government and everybody else to do everything for you. Do your part, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Seth and Juan, my grandparents were subsistence farmers on Cat Island. They left Eleuthera because they weren't making it. They came to Nassau. Man, listen, you people have no idea. All right? No idea. This says, hi, Juan, as a white Bahamian, there's nothing wrong with white British people having jobs in the banks or casinos. I'm sorry, what happened to your text? It says, why don't we pay homage to the white people that made this country? That's better than the black workers with subpar service we have today. Well, I wouldn't say black against white like that. What I'm trying to, and you can acknowledge the white people who did progress the country, but just didn't do enough for the majority of the country. What I'm trying to illustrate for you is that there was an uneven system, all right? And it took a majority rule government to even out the system. I personally do not want British people supplanting Bahamians for jobs. I want Bahamians to perform better in many of the jobs that they are in, but we cannot shy away from the fact that there was an uneven system based on color, and that change was for the better. All right? It says, Juan, are you a Virgo? I, too, am celebrating a birthday at the end of this month. Give it up to all the Virgos. Nope, I'm a Leo. 16th of August. Mark it down. It's the day God made something awesome happen. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
How's it going?
Everything all right. Mafrolia.
Hey.
First of all, let me say my deepest sympathy and condolences to the Hanna family. One, them fellas, they talking foolishness. I could be 52 next month in September. Look here, when A.D. Hanna and Sir Lyndon them take over in 60s, there was one government high school, yeah? And then Mr. Yeah, he was the first minister of education. So they built a lot of schools, all these schools and everything to help educate the black people over the hill. And one more thing, the gentleman called Andrew Wilson name just now. My uncle, Warren Roll, and A.D. Hanna set up the Bahamas Development Bank. Ask Andrew Wilson where he would have been today without A.D. Hanna, Warren Roll, and the Bahamas Development Bank. You hear the gentleman say he's renters, and he have all these shops in the mall, and he being all over the show say Warren Roll make him. Give him his first loan in 1980 from the Bahamas Development Bank to start him going, he's a millionaire now. Tell them two fellas stop talking foolishness, yeah? Adriana and Little Independent make plenty millionaires out of behemoths over the hill. You all have a nice afternoon.
Yep. Thank you. And, you know, in the course of a debate or a discussion about those you would term national heroes, there's nothing wrong with talking about the bad stuff as well as the good stuff. But if we're weighing Arthur Hanna's contribution to the Bahamas, it's monumental. It's monumental. Want to tell that Virgo push out? Don't try stepping on Leo territory now, bro. Lions roaring now. All right, one more call, and then we got to go. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Ron McCartney, you and I, let's say you and I live inside the apartment. The fridge goes bad. Because you're part of the job of sharing the apartment, because the fridge goes bad, I have the money. Don't you think I should fix that? And then whenever you get the money, well, you just give it back to me.
Yeah, that's fine.
In other words, what I'm saying is that leaving Cat Island the way it is, Brave Davis has not been the prime minister for the past 4 years. He does not have the money to complete those clinics. The Free National Movement was in office, and they just ignored it all. We have to accept the fact that a sitting government has done nothing for Cat Island right now. Okay? Thanks for letting me share.
Okay. I wouldn't say they did nothing. I mean, they got water, although is potable water really, like, you know, at this point in time, like, the priority for Family Islanders? They've learned to live with it, but, you know, I could be wrong. I don't know, man. I think that Arthur Hanna was a national hero. one of my white friends are saying, "Who's that salty white guy?" I think that Arthur Hanna was a national hero, and you can believe as you wish, but the testimony of his work and life and contribution is all around us. And nothing you say or believe can change it. May he rest in peace. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.